Shri Shuka Uvacha
Atainam Atma Jambikshya
Mahapurusha Lakshana Devakitam Upadhavat Kamsad Bita Suvismita
Maybe we didn't do 22.
We did. Okay. Shri Shuka Uvacha Atainam Atma Jamvikshya Mahapurusha Lakshana Devakitam Upadhavat Kamsad Bita Suvismita. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said.
Ota, after this offering of prayers by Vasudeva. Enam.
This Krishna.
Atmajam, their son, Vikshya, observing, Mahapurusha Lakshana, with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vishnu.
Devaki, Krishna's mother, Tam, unto him, Krishna, Upadhavat, offered prayers, Kamsat, of Kamsa, Bita, being afraid, Suvismita, and also being astonished by seeing such a wonderful child. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. The word suvismita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband Vasudev were assured that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa, but because of affection, as they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word suvismita has been used. Similarly, we are also astonished upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the asuras, or will continue to advance without fear. Vasudeva offered his prayers first, and then his wife spoke. This is before the beginning of Kali Yuga, so a woman would not dare to speak before her husband. Modern age, they don't care. Women speak up. But the etiquette is that the woman does not speak without the permission of the husband, and if there's something to say, the husband speaks first. Although we understand from a spiritual point of view that the mother of God is more advanced a devotee than the father of God, that the love of a mother is more pure than the love of a father, as a father is to be honored, and we can't do without fathers. Mother cannot become a mother all by herself. But the position of Devaki, the position of Yashoda, this is supreme. No devotee can better exhibit vatsalya love, parental love, toward the Supreme Lord, toward Krishna. No one is a greater devotee in that mood than Mother Yashoda. Nayam sukhapo bhavavan. It's not so easy to capture God. You may reciprocate with God. You have a shopping list of requests. You know, defeat my enemies, control my mind, please control my mind, please make me peaceful, please give me liberation, please give me your lotus feet. And Krishna has so many demands on his lotus feet. Everyone's demanding. And Krishna gives. He gives liberation, he gives peace, he gives defeat of enemies, he gives his lotus feet sometimes to those who deserve. But the higher love is those who are thinking that Krishna needs them, not that they need anything from Krishna. The Vatsaya Ras, in that mood, the devotee is thinking Krishna dependent on him or her. Other devotees cannot capture Krishna the way that Mother Yashoda did. The great yogis and even the Vaishnavas are trying to get Krishna's favor, and he's very elusive. But Mother Yashoda was able to tie him up. You know, and that is not just physical. She had him completely captured with her love. We can see later, as reflected in the pastimes of Mother Shachi Devi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even when he took sannyas, he was very attached to his mother, even as a sannyasi. He took her request to go to Puri and made his base there on her request. Although there's also a narration that Keshara Bharati asked him to do this also, to go to Puri. But it was his mother's request that is given as the reason why he went to Puri. And he, although he didn't come home to visit his mother, the devotees came back to see her and give news. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear in his incorporeal form, his avirbhav, to a few special devotees. Whenever Nityananda Prabhu would dance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would manifest and dance along with him. He appeared in the heart of Nakula Brahmachari or Pradyumna Brahmachari? Nakula Brahmachari. In his meditation? Who's the third? And then he appeared when Mother Shachi Devi would cook for him. Yes, for Raghava Pandit's cooking. And then for Mother Shachi Devi's cooking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear and eat the offerings. This is personal. This is not official avatar. This is not public. This is private manifestation to a few special devotees. And this includes Shachi Devi, honored by all the devotees. And even after taking sannyas, Lord Chaitanya maintained his intimate relationship with her. So now, Devaki, who is Krishna's mother, she's feeling very much afraid of Kamsa. Of course, she's not ignorant. We have the excuse of ignorance. We don't understand the position of God. And the material energy has captured our intelligence. And we're thinking materialistically and foolishly in so many ways. So we think that we're in danger. We even think that Krishna is in danger. Well, we don't care about Krishna. We're mostly thinking about ourselves and our families and our friends and our nation. Our nation is in danger. The enemy is attacking. We must have war against the enemy and shed our blood, the blood of our children, to defend our country, because our enemy is attacking. this defending principle is based on fear. Bayam dvitiyabhi nivesha taksyad. And as fear is the basic emotion for anyone who is turned away from Krishna. Ishara petasya viparyo asmitihi. You forget who you are and you think you're something material instead. You forget your spiritual identity and you assume material identities. And what do you feel? A lot of bad emotions, but basically fear. Constant fear. Sometimes you put it and you shove it in the back and try to forget it. But that fear is always there in material existence. And our way to counteract the fear is to defend. Identify the cause of our fear and destroy it. Fight against the enemy who is causing you your fear and destroy him. And that's the fear defense principle of material life. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. This is what animals do, and this is what materialistic human beings do. Bhayam, fearfulness. Because of that material fearfulness, we don't even think about Krishna. We're just thinking of making plans to defend ourselves. Maybe we don't think anybody's going to come and kill us physically. Maybe we think we're going to live a long time. We're healthy, no one's out to destroy us. Not literally, but we're thinking of our business competition, people who are out to destroy us in business. I'm going to school, I have to compete to get a high grade. For me to get a high grade, someone else has to get a worse grade. Yeah. For me to get a good grade on the exams and succeed in school means I have to be smarter and know more than the other students. If the other students are too good, then I'm in trouble. Better the other students are stupid and not diligent, then I'll succeed. And in business, for me to make money, I have to take that money away from somebody else. My customers have to be stupid and be willing to pay high prices for things that I bought for cheap. And my competition has to be incompetent so I can put them out of business. I can make money by taking the money only by taking the money away from somebody else. So the material life. Even if we're not thinking of life and death threat, we've got our small ways in which we're defending and fighting our enemies. In school, in business, in love, you know, competing for some woman. In everything we do in material life. I'm a scientist, but I have to make the discovery before the other scientists in the other laboratory, so I get the Nobel Prize. I have to get tenure, so I have to be better than the other professor. Competition in everything. Musician, music, it's the worst. That's why I quit music. I wasn't disciplined, but the other reason was it was so cutthroat competition among musicians. So I decided to become a mathematician instead. I thought they were non-competitive. That's material life. Don't think that the fear that Devaki is experiencing is that kind of material fear that leads to defensiveness. And you can see that it is not material fear, because how does she react? Not by telling her husband, Vasudev, can't you do something? Can't you maybe hire some tantric to get rid of Kamsa? You know, there's plenty of such tantrics available in Mathura. Pay someone to do an evil eye on him. Or maybe you got money in the bank. Maybe you could hire some thugs to get us out of this prison or something. You know, she didn't go to her husband demanding that he do something. She simply, and Vasudev, simply depended on Krishna. Vasudev stuck to his word. Vasudev could just have broken his promise to Kamsa. You can find excuses for that in the Dharma Shastra. You can lie to a person who is threatening your life. But Vasudev stuck to his word and delivered each of the children. What happens, though, if the last child appears as Narayan and tells you to break your word? Tells you to sneak me across the river tonight. We'll see, you know, Vasudev then is going to understand his higher duty. But Devaki is not thinking of making some arrangement to avoid the danger of Kamsa. She is appealing to Krishna. She's understanding Krishna, Narayan, who has appeared as her son now, to be the ultimate and only shelter, only source of protection. If your fear causes you to surrender completely to Krishna, if your anxiety causes you to surrender to Krishna, then they are spiritual fear and anxiety. And you should ask for more, as Kunti Devi did. She's the case of Devaki's a case of a lot of fear. Helpless woman who's already had her life threatened on her wedding day, who's had her 6 children, one after another, murdered by Kamsa. She knows that Kamsa can do it. And that Vasudev will stick to his promise and deliver the child. Now she's thinking he's going to do it again. Now Krishna's taken birth. Here he is. He's Narayan. And Kamsa, and Vasudev is going to do what he did before. He's going to deliver Krishna to Kamsa to be killed. So she's in fear. Another woman, Mother Kunti, Prita, she was not in fear so much. She's a Kshatriya lady. So she wasn't scared, but she's always in anxiety that she has to take care of these boys, you know, and protect them from the oppression of Duryodhana. Sorry. And and she told Krishna, Viparak Santu Taksha Shwad Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Give us more cause for anxiety. Send us more. Because this anxiety is spiritual. It causes me to take shelter of you. And then when we are helpless, you come to us. You come to us every time. We have nothing left but you to take shelter of. Then we pray to you, and you actually appear to us. You come to us. Not just in a dream, you come. You're always on the spot to save us when we're in danger. But when we're not in danger, you stay in Dwarka. You don't need to come. So please send more and more danger. Viparak Santu Takshashvat. Again and again, constantly, let us have more disasters, catastrophes. Not just read in the newspaper about somebody else. Send them to us directly. We want the catastrophes, not Sri Lanka or Mongolia or Brazil. Send them here. Tatra Tatra Jagargo Bhavato Darshanam Yasya, because then we get your darshan. When we're helpless, when we're threatened, then you help us. Apunar Bhava Darshanam. And when we see you, I know that means we won't see birth and death again. Apunar Bhava Darshanam. The sight of Krishna means you won't see death again, you won't see birth again. Maybe one more death, but not another birth. Apunar Bhava. She didn't say Apunar Mrityu. Everyone who's already born has to die. That has to happen. But you don't have to be born again after that. So she rightly says Apunar Bhava Darshanam. One more death, and that's it. Not another birth. That she's assured of. She's feeling very confident. Because I've seen Krishna so many times. How can I be in danger of having to take birth again? That confidence is there. It's not contradicted by her anxiety, because her anxiety is spiritual anxiety. And in the parallel way, we should understand that Devaki's fear is spiritual fear. We can also develop such spiritual anxiety and spiritual fear by taking our fear and offering it to Krishna. Reacting to fear, not by trying to defend ourselves, but by trying to take complete shelter of Krishna. By reacting to our anxiety in the same way. Not by trying, how do we usually react to anxiety? Complain. You know, We just make, you know, we just get angry and complain. You know, why is everything out of control? Why should I think everything's out of control? This is the cause of my material anxiety, is that I don't trust that Krishna's in control. If I'm perfectly confident that Krishna's in control, then when things are going wrong, I can just tell Krishna, well, you're in control, save me. And that's taking shelter of Krishna. If we can practice offering our anxiety to Krishna like that, reacting to anxiety and fear by becoming more dependent on Krishna, then we should ask for more and more of that fear and anxiety. Not that we want to just live a peaceful life, you know, and be left alone. We want Krishna to bother. We should want Krishna to bother us. Please give us a hard time. At least as much as we can tolerate. Hare Krishna. Okay, are there any questions or comments?
The tendency is, we often say we shouldn't ask God for material benefits. Sometimes it appears that when you're offering your fear and anxiety to Krishna, that you're asking for the protection from material things. So how do you...
Well, it's a fine line. We have to sort of let Krishna decide. You know, if it's the right thing, then relieve me. If you really want me to go through this, okay, you have your purposes. Very often it's hard to know what to ask Krishna, so we can leave it open to him. You know, I'm in anxiety. You figure out what's supposed to be done about this. Yeah. Be neglectful of doing anything?
Yeah, in terms, like, let's say if you're not healthy, so you say, okay, Krishna will take care of my health, but you actually need to do something.
Yeah, that could be a neglect.
Krishna
tells Arjuna, Mam anusmara yudhya cha. Remember me, but also fight. We should not be negligent to take care of things for Krishna. We're given certain responsibilities for Krishna's service. We can't say, you know, Krishna, you do it. You know, I'm taking a vacation. You know, I've been given responsibility to manage something or to do something. I'm supposed to do it. Krishna could have done it himself, but he asked me to do it. So similarly, to take care of this, our own body and mind, keep ourselves healthy and keep ourselves mentally fit, satisfied, peaceful. It's our responsibility. We should do everything we can to take care of ourselves, and then when we've done everything we can, then we ask Krishna to make up the difference. I've done what I can, but not don't make any attempt. Don't, you know, be lazy. Don't try. Don't bother to do anything. Dump it all on Krishna. Yes, please.
Sometimes in the past I've made very serious endeavors to try to remember something. Like, I begged Krishna to help me remember, put a note on, you know, the computer, like everything. But still, it's forgotten.
Yes.
So how do we understand that we're depending on Krishna, since he gives knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness?
Yes.
And we put as much endeavor as we know how to put in to remembering something that's to be done for Krishna.
Yes.
But it doesn't happen. So was I still negligent in some way, or I don't know. It's difficult for me to understand because it seems. How do you know if you were still negligent, or if that was what Krishna wanted?
Not necessarily either. I think it's a limitation of your prarabdha karma. Yeah, because of certain things you did in your life. Your memory is damaged, your memory faculty, your adhara shakti, ability to hold on to ideas in the mind, because you've done things that affected that capacity. So whose fault is that? You can accept the fault yourself. It's not Krishna's leela. you know, that now you can't remember things easily. It's just a fact of your life. You know, you don't have the power to jump up in the sky and fly like a bird. That's your karma. You don't have the power to remember everything, even the way you used to do when you were young. And you got to work around that. It's not really whose fault is it, mine or Krishna's, but how to manage despite that in that deficiency. You know, we can worry, why is it so damn hot? You know, but what can you do about it? The weather is there. You know, we can worry, we can question why it's hot. Why doesn't, you know, Krishna's God, why doesn't he change the weather? You know, but, or else we just figure out how to cope with it. Work around it. You know, I mean, how are you going to change the weather? How are you going to change your prarabdha karma? Krishna can take away your prarabdha karma when he likes to, if he likes to, but otherwise you're stuck with it.
Let's say I put all my effort into trying to remember to say as best as I can, not yeah. over and over,
yes.
do the best. And then I don't remember, and should I feel bad about it? Even though I did as much as I knew I could.
You should maybe devise a way around it, like write it down and carry a notebook with you. You know, always have in hand a notebook of a list of things you're supposed to do. You can't remember them, so write them down. I don't know, no, feeling, just, you know, feeling terrible about it is, what can you do about it? Just live with it. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Oh, Lord, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.